Hello, this is Mace Haroff, and welcome to the Medical Sales Guru Podcast, the podcast for medical sales professionals. I'm glad you're here because today I'm going to talk to you about something that's important. I got to tell you, everything I talk to you about, I think is important. It's really whether or not you think it's important, and hopefully you do, because these are the things that over 30 years in this industry, I have found make a huge difference one way or another. Before we begin, I want to let you know that the Medical Sales Guru Podcast is brought to you by Sales Pilot Medical Sales Performance and Medical Sales Academy. Medical Sales Academy is the premier online training and support site for medical sales professionals. Yes, it will train you to sell effectively in the healthcare sales environment, but it doesn't stop there. It also provides ongoing support all year long to help you overcome the obstacles you face with difficult customers in an ever-changing industry. Why go it alone when you could have colleagues to help you? You could have me to help you. And I promise you, I will be there for you. You can check it out at medicalsalesacademy.com. Also, look for notifications about the live events I will be doing. Event is in April 2016 in Fort Lauderdale. Get information at medicalsalesacademy.com/MSA Live. That's in Mike Sierra Alpha Live, MSA Live. Okay, let's talk about medical selling. And today I want to spend a little bit of time with you talking about some of the things that medical reps do that really work against all of the great efforts that they make to develop relationships with their customers and to really look professional in their customers' eyes. Now, I'm going to run through these pretty quickly. Don't just shrug this off. Don't say to yourself, well, you know, I don't really need to pay any attention to this because I don't do any of these things. You'll be surprised at some of the things that people do. And man, I got to tell you, anytime, if I'm in a doctor's office just as a patient, invariably, medical sales reps come in and I always observe what they're doing. And I got to tell you, a lot of times I'm just aghast at how unprofessional they are. I also go on ride-alongs when I'm working with clients. They bring me in to do sales training and I'll spend some time riding in the field with certain select sales reps. Some of the things I see are just truly amazing. I can't believe it when I'm seeing it. So I'm going to discuss some of these things with you today in the hopes that you'll pay attention and not do any of these stupid things which really go against all the great efforts that you make to become a true medical sales professional. These are in no particular order. I'm just going to talk about them as they come to mind. One of the most egregious ones in my mind, and I see this when I'm sitting in a doctor's office, or even sometimes when I accompany reps into the office, it's when a rep walks in and will go up to the receptionist window, and he or she will block the window. Now, what do I mean by block the window? Naturally, you have to get in front of the window to talk to the receptionist. But here's the thing. If there are patients there, let the patients go first. Keep in mind, my mantra is the patient always comes first. Well, yes, my friends, this includes in the doctor's office or in the clinic, wherever you happen to be. Go to the back of the line if there's patients there. I don't care how long you've been waiting. The patient comes first. I'll see this. They'll be aligned at the receptionist window, and the sales representative will just get in line with everybody else, and patients will be lining up behind him or her. And you don't want to find yourself in this situation. You don't want to be the person with people behind you, because if you're a normal person, you're probably going to feel rushed. And if you feel rushed when you're with the receptionist, you're going to say the wrong things. You're going to drop back and resort to a product-based conversation instead of a benefits-based conversation with that person. And you're not going to get in to see the customer, whoever it is. So the key thing I want you to take away here is let the patients go first. Try to put yourself in a situation where you're not going to feel rushed and you'll have much better results. Now, while I'm talking about things that medical reps do in the waiting room, another thing is talking on the phone. They'll be sitting in the waiting room, and there will be other people there. There will be patients. There might be other reps. And a phone call will come in, and they will take the phone call, and they will speak out loud. they don't break it down to a whisper like this and say, yeah, hey, John, I'm in a doctor's office right now. Can I call you back? So many of them will say, yeah, hey, John, what's going on, man? Yeah, I'm on a call right now, so I might not be able to. And they're talking out loud. People don't want to hear your conversations. And I can tell you that patients especially don't want to hear your conversations. A lot of times they're in the doctor's office. It's not their favorite place to be. They don't want to hear your conversations about the product that needs to be delivered or the challenge that one of your customers is having, or even just small talk between you and a friend or whatever. Bottom line, take the call outside. And just hang up. Or even better yet, don't take the call. Unless it's an emergency. That's why you have voicemail. Let things go into voicemail. You don't have to take the call. Another thing that I still see, even though it's been discussed by companies and trainings, it's when I see sales reps, if I'm in a hospital, you will see sales representatives on an elevator or in the cafeteria, and they're talking about a patient or they're discussing a case they were just involved in. Remember the HIPAA rules, folks? That's only one component of it, but that's the legal component. But let's forget the true professional component. Don't talk about business in public places where people can hear you. You never know who's listening in. It could be a competitor, or it could be someone who's going to end up being a customer at some point. And they're going to say, oh yeah, I remember you. You're the one who unprofessionally speaks about other customers and patients in public places. I'm not doing business with you. Now, things happen. This is a huge pet peeve. This is probably one of the worst. It's one of the worst things you could do. So I want to say to you, don't do it, but human nature being what it is, it's going to happen and people will do this. The idea is to be aware. Here it is. Sometimes something's going to happen which is going to make you late for an appointment, for a case if you're covering a case, whatever it is. It happens. You know, there's traffic accidents. There's all kinds of things. Your car breaks down. There's times when you're going to be late. You must call as soon as possible. Now, here's something that's, you could take it or leave it, but I'm going to tell you this is the most professional thing you could do. If you think you're going to be late by a few minutes, call and let them know sooner than later. Now, the worst case scenario is you're going to show up on time and they're going to go, oh, glad that you're here. Thank you for calling and letting us know. But here's what a lot of reps do. They don't want to be late. They don't want to make the call to tell the account or the customer that they're going to be late. So what do? They gamble that they're going to be on time. If you know that you are a half hour away from where you need to be and your appointment's in 15 minutes, don't wait. Don't let the 15 minutes go by until the appointment time and say, yeah, hey, I'm going to be late, because then you look like a bozo. Let people know you're going to be late as soon as you suspect that it's going to happen, because you're dealing with professionals and it gives them time to use their time accordingly, to make the best use of their time. Be a professional. Mistakes and omissions. This is a biggie, my friends. Guess what? You're human. I'm human. We're all human, except for your dog or your cat. They're not human, even though you may try to ascribe those traits to them. But I'm talking about you and me. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to screw up. We're going to forget things. We're going to occasionally say the wrong thing or provide the wrong information. Here's what a professional does. He or she owns it. Don't try to pass it off. This is something that I see reps doing all the time. And actually, I got to tell you, when I was out there selling, I loved when a sales rep tried to pass the blame onto somebody else, because it's about, if it's a competitive rep, of course, because passing the blame is about the worst thing you could do in a customer's eyes. It makes you look like a liar. It makes you look ineffective. It makes you look irresponsible. Don't do this. If you are responsible for a mistake or an omission, just own it. If you forgot something, say, you know something? I forgot. I thought I double checked. I made a mistake. If you have an omission in information, some important information you forgot to include, get the information to the customer and say, I forgot to provide you with this earlier. The name of the game is People will do business with you because they believe you are a professional. And part of being a professional is to take responsibility for everything that happens on your watch. Doesn't matter how the mistake happened. If, let's say, for example, that you are setting up a surgery, if you're in that business, or you're delivering a product or a service for a customer, and something is missing. The common excuse that so many reps like to use is, oh, my office forgot to send it. My company forgot to send it. Now, that may be the truth, but the reality is, if you show up and you're missing something that is required to provide whatever service or product you're delivering, you own it. I mean, how do you look? My company forgot to send it. Well, let's see. When did you receive this package? You received it yesterday. You're here today. What happened between yesterday and today where you didn't take the time to check it? That's what a professional does. A professional double checks. Folks, you're in the medical business. You're in the business of delivering care to human beings. Don't trust other people to do perfect jobs. You have the opportunity to be that missing link, to be that safety check in the chain to make sure that things don't go wrong. Now, here's the thing. When things go right, a lot of times your customers are not going to know all the heroic efforts you went through to make them go right, unless, of course, you share that with them, which is something that I described in both a previous podcast and a previous blog called Toot Your Own Horn. Very important to do. But most of the time, they won't know what you've done right. But here's the thing. They will know when you screw up. In fact, not only will they know it, it is likely that they won't forget it. So don't screw up. And if you do, own it. Here's another thing. Small talk during a sales call, especially at the beginning. Now, if you've taken any of my training, you know, this is one thing that I hit you with this right from the, you know, right at the start of the training. You are a medical sales professional, and the most valuable time that you have is time with a customer. So a lot of sales reps have this mistaken notion that when they sit down with the customer, they need to build rapport. You know, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to dazzle them with my rapport building skills, and if it's a male doctor, I'm going to talk about sports. Hey doc, thanks so much for taking the time to see me today. Yeah, hey, did you see the game over the weekend? Oh my gosh, wasn't it incredible? So when you do that, here's what the customer's thinking. Customer's thinking, okay, this sales rep is taking up my valuable time. You know, and a customer knows what his or her time is worth. You know, if you have 5 minutes or 10 minutes scheduled with them, they know what that 10 minutes is worth. So if you're taking that time to talk about football or golf or hockey or whatever, you're an idiot. That's all I got to tell you. You're taking the most precious time to talk about something that's not going to matter. That's not how you build rapport. You know how you build rapport with a customer? By improving their condition, by improving their patient's condition. And if they want to talk about sports or something at the end of the call, so be it. But don't be so stupid as to waste the most valuable time in your life by talking about something which is insignificant and makes you look like an amateur. Build rapport by doing good. Another thing I see reps do, I'll see them take parking spots, prime parking spots. At a hospital, I'll see sales reps parking in doctors' parking spots. You know, they give the physicians parking spots so the doctors don't have to walk as far to the hospital so they could get there quickly, so they could get to the patients and take care of the patients quickly. I know it's very tempting, and a lot of times sales reps are in a rush, but you know what? Follow the rules. Don't take doctors' parking spots. Don't park in places you shouldn't park, because it is going to get back to someone, I promise. And when it does, it's indefensible. Here's another thing that reps do that I love when they do it if they're a competitor, but you have to be careful. And that is selling when a doctor or customer is preoccupied. Such as if you sell something in the operating room, reps will go up to a surgeon at the scrub sink, and they will launch into a sales presentation without ever asking the doctor if they could talk to him about something. They'll just start selling. This doctor is getting ready for a surgery. He or she is probably thinking about what they need to do. They're probably thinking about things in their day. Maybe they're thinking about the post-op orders they're going to have to write. They have things on their minds. When you encounter a customer in the hospital, in a clinic, in a parking lot, wherever, it is not carte blanche for you to launch into a sales presentation. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you should squander that opportunity. But there are specific things that I talk about in my training on how to capitalize and leverage that opportunity very quickly, where you're not insulting the customer and you're not upsetting them because you're distracting them from something more important that they're thinking about. Handling objections. Handling objections is something I spend a lot of time coaching people through, teaching them how to do it in a very non-offensive way. Folks, you're selling to medical professionals. When someone poses an objection, do you have to handle the objection? Well, of course you do. That's what your job is as a sales professional. But you have to be very careful how you do it. Don't make the customer wrong when you handle an objection. And that's what most reps do. A customer will say something like, I don't know, I think your product it's a little heavy. And the sales rep will jump in and say, doctor, it's the lightest one on the market. What did you just do? You just made the customer wrong. Now, in fact, the customer may indeed be wrong, but you don't win friends and influence people by saying, hey, you know what, doc, you don't know what you're talking about. Obviously you haven't done your homework. I'm going to make you look bad. Now, of course, you're not going to say those things, but that's how the customer feels like you're trying to make him or her feel. And you got to remember, they're the doctor, they're the medical expert, they're the professional in his or her world. You can't say you're wrong. I teach a very, very specific way of handling medical sales objections. It's about going ape. And if you don't know what it is, you really need to learn what it is. I go into it in detail in Medical Sales Academy. I probably talked about it in some of the podcasts here. But by all means, learn how to handle objections like a pro. Another thing is unprofessional dress. I've seen people go into a hospital. You might be out playing tennis or something and you have to run to the hospital. I get it. Keep some clothes in your car that when you go into a professional environment, you could still look like a professional, because people will remember you for how you show up. And if you show up looking like a tennis player or a bodybuilder or, all sweaty and stinky from the gym, that's going to create a negative impression in somebody's mind. Just don't do it. Look like a professional for the environment you're walking into. Here's something else, which is one of my pet peeves. You could take it or leave it. A lot of people who sell surgical equipment, they'll wear scrub clothes. Now, scrub clothes are designed for the clinic. They're designed for the operating room, the hospital. When you go into a doctor's office, for example, to make a sales call, give that doctor the courtesy of looking like a professional. Now, a lot of doctors will tell you, I don't mind if sales reps wear scrubs. I'm perfectly fine with it. The reality is, when you show up wearing a suit and tie or a business suit, it shows that you're there to do business and that you're a professional. And you made the effort to look professional for that customer. Don't underestimate that. And if you do, if you think it's okay to walk in there in scrubs or unprofessional clothing, just remember this. You're giving an advantage to your competition if your competition dresses professionally. And one other thing, I have to talk about this, and I don't like to talk about it because it feels a little discriminatory, but I have to talk about tattoos. Tattoos are something that today, especially if you're a millennial or even if you're a younger baby boomer, tattoos are acceptable. I mean, they really are. Some tattoos are beautiful. I think tattoos, if you think tattoos are cool, that's fine. Not everyone has that feeling. And if you have tattoos which look unprofessional or which are displayed in places that someone may consider it to be unprofessional, just recognize that it's going to affect your business. So am I telling you that you should try to cover your tattoos? I would say it's probably a good idea unless you absolutely know how the person that you're calling on feels about tattoos. And unless you've discussed it with them, you don't know. And the reason I share this with you, I had a guy working for me. Guy's name was Jim. And he was covering a surgery for me at a hospital. This was a Monday morning. Jim shows up at the hospital over the weekend. He had a huge tattoo of a tiger tattooed basically went around his entire neck. It was across the front of his neck and around the back. And when he was in the hospital, Jim walked in where you had to come into the operating room. There was the patient holding area. And he put on scrubs. And of course, scrubs, you know, your entire neck is revealed when you're wearing scrubs. The patient saw this bright tiger, and I say it was bright because, you know, he just had it inked that weekend. And the patient was, under the influence of some medications, perhaps even hallucinating a bit. And when she saw Jim's tiger, she started freaking out. And the nurses had to come over, and one of the nurses from the hospital called me and said, you know, you got to do something about your guy. So here's the thing. His whole neck was tattooed. What was I supposed to do? Send him to work with a scarf on? We pulled him out of the clinic, you know, and he didn't want to be out of the clinic. We basically made him a warehouse, supply clerk, and he quit. So, you know, keep in mind that everything you do matters. And, you know, tattoos are cool, but you have to remember you've chosen to work in a professional environment. And yes, some of your customers will be covered with tattoos, and that's cool if they're the buyer. But when you're the seller, you have to create a relationship, a bond, or at least a feeling of confidence with the people that you're working with. And sometimes when you have inappropriate tattoos or inappropriate place tattoos, it just doesn't work. Something else, if you smoke, first of all, I don't want to, you know, pass judgment on you if you smoke, although you could probably tell by what I'm saying here that I probably am. Recognize this, that in the healthcare environment, most medical professionals, I'm talking about doctors and nurses, most of them don't smoke. And many of them who did at one time have given it up. So one thing that they find offensive, and I know this because I've been in conversations for years and years about this. If you're a smoker, guess what? You smell like smoke. Doesn't matter if you don't smoke, you know, within 10 minutes before going into an account, or if you take a breath mint. If you smoke, you smell like smoke, and your customers will smell it on you. It will go against you. So what am I suggesting you do if you're a smoker and you sell in the medical environment? I suggest that you quit, or at least don't smoke that day. Don't, once you get, after you shower and get dressed that morning, do not have another cigarette until the end of the day. Probably not possible if you're addicted to nicotine, but just recognize that it offends people and it will have an impact on your business. And the last thing I'm going to talk about, because we're running out of time for this particular podcast, is I see sales reps who they only put on their personality for people who can buy. In other words, a rep will walk into the account, won't say hello to anybody, or just might nod or say something, won't crack a smile until he or she gets in front of a person who can write the PO or is a decision maker in some way. Huge mistake. You want to continue to keep doing that, go ahead and do it. I love people. Wherever I go, I talk to everybody, which is kind of weird for some people because sometimes people aren't used to strangers talking to them, but I talk to everybody. And one day, you may have heard this story before. I've told it a lot in my training and in my programs, but one time a hospital called me. I was in competition for a piece of capital equipment. It was a $5,000 piece of equipment, and the hospital was looking at, you know, two or three other companies as well. And it's fair to say that probably some of the other companies even had a better product than what I had. But I had the proposal in, and I get a call from the operating room materials coordinator, and she says, "Mace, we decided to buy your piece of equipment." I said, "Oh, that's great. That's great, Barbara. Thanks so much." She says, "Would you like to know why?" And I said, "Well, yeah, sure. Tell me why." She said, "Well, you know, I was trying to decide which way to go because all of the quotes I was looking at, they're all about the same price. And, you know, and you're all good reps. And I asked Ivan." I said, "Ivan, you mean the environmental tech, the guy who mops the floors in the operating room, the guy who cleans up after the cases? You asked Ivan which piece of equipment you should buy?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "I was just kidding around. I just said, hey, Ivan, I don't know what to do. It was late at night." I said, "Ivan, which one should I buy?" And Ivan, without hesitating, he said, "Well, who are the different sales reps who are selling it?" And they listed them off, and I was one of the sales reps. And Ivan said, "Buy it from Mace. He's the only one who talks to me. He talks to everybody. He's a nice guy." So here's the takeaway message, folks. you need to be friendly to everybody, because while not everyone can give you the PO, people in your account, the people who can grant the POs, they're watching you. They see what you're doing. They see how you interact with other people. And either at a conscious or a subconscious level, people will make judgments about you and your character based on how you interact with other people. So even though someone might not legitimately be the buyer, treat everyone the same. Good things will happen. I've covered a lot of things that you should pay attention to, some things you shouldn't do. There's myriad more than what I talked about, but just think about these, and these are things to at least open up your mind that it goes beyond the sales call, it goes beyond the product. Everything you do matters. Thanks for spending some time with me on this edition of the Medical Sales Guru podcast. Do me a favor and do your colleagues a favor. Tell them about the Medical Sales Guru podcast. This is something that will help them to think professionally and behave professionally in the medical environment. And when people do that, we all look good. Also, don't forget to check out Medical Sales Academy at medicalsalesacademy.com. Great information there. The program has been very successful, and the ongoing support you get all year long will make a difference in your medical sales career. And finally, I said it once before on this podcast, I'm going to say it again. Remember that whatever you do in your medical sales career, nothing is more important than the patient. The patient always comes first. Congratulations on being part of an industry, having a career that truly makes a difference in people's lives. Now go out there and make that difference. For the Medical Sales Guru podcast, this is Mace Haroff. I'll talk to you again soon. Bye for now.